and out of that fund balance and end next year at $376,000. Gets a little tight. I get a little anxious thinking about that. But again, when I look at the increased expenditures, I think the risk at this time is worthwhile. So just to recap, for the general fund request is to have the city, fund us to the maximum allowable contribution of $4,494,286. All right, then we get into the special funds. And I recognize that you guys understand budgets, the operating budget for others. That's where you appropriate that money, and then we choose where to spend it. In the special funds, you're appropriating this money and you're saying this is where that money gets spent. So we don't have the freedom to move that money around. In those four areas that you've historically funded are community schools, food service, student activities, and preschool. For community schools, we'll just go down to the very bottom. For fiscal year 27, third column over, requested city contribution. We're asking this year $975,000. If you look at the two previous years, that was the same amount that was appropriated. So we're not asking to increase the contribution for community schools. Would also like to point out the very last column, our fund balance. Starting in fiscal year 23, the fund balance in the community schools went in the red by $95,000. At the end of fiscal year 25, we were $177,944 in the red. You can note that at the end of this school year, we're projecting to be back in the black by $31,000. We took the responsibility when we got the increased BSA to take care of areas that we hadn't been able to manage appropriately, and so we transferred $200,000 of that additional state funding here to cover that negative fund balance. We anticipate with the continued $975,000 that we'll be able to maintain that fund balance in the black. The second special fund is food service. Again, if you look in the middle column, the requested city contribution this year at the bottom is $400,000. That's the same amount that was appropriated last year by the city. The year before, it was $300,000. Our expenditures, you can see, are anticipated to be around $639,210. They increase each year just because of the cost of food goes up each year. I would like to also point out the fund balance in this area and the work that we've done to get it down into the black. So in fiscal year 24, you can see we were in the red $67,000. At the end of fiscal year 25, we were in the red almost $300,000. Since that time, we've made some very strategic moves to try and figure out where we're losing money in our food service. And so we have increased meal prices. We've improved accounting efficiency. There was many times that we were serving food that we didn't, like bill to student activities, for example, or bill to the district office when we asked for a meal. So we've really cleared up where that money was going and food was going. We've also been very efficient with our expenditures. We've been more careful about purchases, and we've reduced staffing in our food service, contracting out for our food service director. It has saved us about $70,000 this year alone. Student activities. Again, the requested city contribution at the bottom there is for $260,000. That combined with what we pay out of our operating budget produces a total student activity budget of $676,000. And as you guys know, this investment is well worth it, knowing what students gain through student activities and the ability to travel and the experiences they have by doing so. And when I say student activities, we often look at sports, but just this week we have NYO, we have our band is traveling, and early next week is our student government group traveling. So it's beyond just sports that this investment goes to. This is an interesting fund. In fiscal year 26, last year, we requested $160,000. You guys negotiated like I do and instead went opposite and offered to contribute another $100,000 above what we asked for $260,000. So this year our ask is the same. With that, it's fair to say we do have a positive fund balance. And so if this is an area that causes some concern, this would be one that we could say that we would, in all areas we could understand, but this would be one that would deem itself as being pretty flexible and still being able to meet travel needs. all that, not knowing the oil price and fuel and flights and all that kind of good stuff. And then finally is preschool. And I'm going to start by bragging a little bit about our preschool because it's a quiet one and it doesn't require a lot from the city for contribution. But our preschool is what sets the kids up for success. Our preschool program makes sure that when kids go into kindergarten, they're academically ready as well as socially ready to be kindergarten students. In addition, our preschool supports special needs students so that they get a jump start on closing that academic gap that they have because of their unique needs. So this year, our request is for $210,000 from the city. You can see in the past 2 years, that was the same request. With that appropriation, we've been able to manage to maintain a slightly positive fund balance. So just going back to our essential question, how do we best invest the money? And we believe that we do have a plan in this budget to do so, so that we can continue moving forward towards our mission. Quick summary again, total expenditures within, is $11,360,000. Total revenue, $10,880,000 for a slight $400,000 draw from our fund balance. And last one then, just to put the numbers right in front of you, what our request is tonight, and that is for a total of $6,339,286 for the fiscal year 27. Thank you. And do you have any questions?
Well, thank you for the update and report. Questions for school? And for the record, I'll state that Zach, Councilman Shastin did arrive at 6:03. Well, thank you. I think no one here has any questions, and looks like do very well this last year and forward to this coming year.
Thank you.
Thanks. Also, I want to thank the members of the City Council that worked with the school board to get to where we are. This last 2 years have been Councilman Luby, Councilman Coleman. I think they did a great job in trimming the budget and helping us be under budget. Thanks. All right, turn it over to the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The clerk will call the remainder up because she has a list in front of her, but.
Okay, our next community support grant applicant presentation will be from the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Associations, Inc., APIA. Starting with Ms. Stacy Kelly.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, community members. Thanks for having me today. My name is Stacy Kelly. I'm the Director of Behavioral Health at the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association. Today, I'm here to present our community support grant. This year is a flat funding request from last year, $143,000 to support our master's level clinician who's based here in Unalaska, who works with a team of our behavioral health clinicians in Anchorage to provide a mental health and substance misuse therapy services to folks here on the island. This one FTE works with another FTE, so a total of two master's level clinicians are based here in Unalaska and also supported by two behavioral health aides. And then in Anchorage, we have a team of nine other clinicians that can provide support through telehealth as well as come out here to provide support to the community as well. So some of the programs that we offer are individual, group, and family therapy. We have a level 2.1 intensive outpatient program for substance misuse for folks that may not need residential treatment or are coming out of residential treatment. We offer psychiatric med management therapy, as well as ADIS courses and educational outreach events. This coming May, we have our fourth annual Substance Misuse Symposium on May 8th coming up. I just wanted to put a plug in for that. And so that will be on a Friday evening, and then we've got all sorts of other events leading up to that Friday event, different workshops and tailored events and outreach events in the school as well. So. Main point of I just wanted to also mention we do receive some state funding for our other position, and we just were provided notice that we received a 75% cut in that funding for FY27 from the state of Alaska, and so the funds that are provided for this FTE really help out our program. Does anybody have any questions?
Okay, thank you for your presentation. Any questions from council members on the application, the Aleutian Preble on Violence Association? No. Question? Councilman Bell?
Yeah, just a quick question. You mentioned that you got a big cut from the state. Are there other sources that you guys would be able to tap into to make up that shortfall?
We're looking around. I'm confident that we can piece together something. There is a notice out that they're kind of offering some crisis funding that we will try to go for. I don't know how that will go quite yet, but so they're offering other things, but it's not quite the full amount that we were getting before. So some changes on the state. We'll look for other federal funds and other opportunities as well.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Any further questions or comments? Okay. Thank you very much for your presentation. City Clerk, next.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Next, we have the Illyric Family Health and Services, Ms. Dawn Johnson.
Good evening. Thank you for having us tonight. Dawn Johnson with IFHS here to discuss our FY27 community support request for sustaining our after hours and urgent and emergency care. I'll start by just a little bit of a reminder of why IFHS matters. We are the primary urgent and emergency healthcare provider in Alaska, serving our residents, workforce, and visitors. And because we are 800 miles away from the nearest hospital, we provide that emergency traumatic care, trauma care that is needed. With that, there is a high cost of care in a remote high-risk environment such as ours. That high cost of care is due to around-the-clock urgent and emergency care. And while providing that care, obviously weather oftentimes delays medevacs, which result in patients frequently being held overnight or multiple days on end. As many of you may know, in the summer of 2025, IFHS received a level 5 trauma designation. We are the only level 5 trauma center in the state of Alaska and, to my knowledge, in the nation. And what that designation does is recognizes us for our ability to stabilize traumatic injuries and coordinate their care, transferring to a higher level of care in Anchorage. So that designation recognizes IFHS's high standards of trauma care. So why your support is needed? In the past, we've discussed that IFHS is a federally qualified health center, FQHC for short. That means we get federally funding for our primary care only. That does not cover any of the emergency care, therefore staffing and supplies and equipment that is used for emergency care after hours and during open hours is not reimbursed to us. And so the city helps to fill that gap. In 2025, this community utilized IFHS 4,864 times. Out of that 4,864 patient encounters, 2,913 were emergency care. 388 were seen after hours. That's after our open hours in the evenings and on weekends. And we had 22 overnight patient holds. That means we had 22 patients that were held overnight, but some of those patients actually stayed well over 24 hours and sometimes 48 hours. So this year for fiscal year 27, our funding request is $800,000. As most organizations know, the cost of staffing and supplies are increasing across the board. But with that, the number of patient encounters that we've received has risen. And so we're asking for the same level of funding as fiscal year 26 to help us sustain those existing services. What is not in this presentation, but you have the city council has a copy of, is just the volume difference between 2025 and 2026. And I'll just say that for quarter one of 2026, we saw 118 additional patients emergently than we saw in 2025. So we're projected to well surpass the number of patients that we saw in 2025. How are the city funds used? Well, mainly they are used to help pay the salaries of a provider, a nursing staff, a lab technician, and a radiology technician that are available 24/7 to this community. That after-hours clinical care, the emergency supplies and the equipment that's needed, all of the maintenance on that equipment that we have to provide overnight patient monitoring. And I think everyone recognizes what happens without that support, but I will reiterate that without the city's support of emergency after-hours care, that after-hours availability is at risk. IFHS would not be able to continue providing after-hours coverage past a couple of months if we did not receive the city's funding to help us bridge the gap that we see. What that relates to is longer response times and increased danger to life and safety of our community members. Our path forward, we obviously are always working to reduce our reliance on city funds. We, like everyone tonight, are nonprofits, so we're never going to be a profitable organization. That's not why we exist. But we are working to bring in revenue enough to where we can reduce the reliance on city funds. One thing that we've done in the last year is improved our urgent care billing. The other thing that we are doing and working toward is the rural health transformation funding. That is funding that we've requested. We've put in a letter of intent to give us short-term financial support for all of our emergency and trauma care. And we've also partnered with three other organizations in the state of Alaska and put in a joint letter of intent for the Rural Health Transformation Program. Two of those three organizations operate like we do. They are federally qualified health centers as well that have to provide emergency and urgent care to their community. And they are in a deficit like we are. They do not, neither one of those organizations see the volume that we see because of the large swings of seasonal workers and fishing fleet that we see coming through Dutch Harbor and Unalaska. But they still have that deficit. The third organization that's partnering with us actually had to close their emergency care and their emergency department 2 years ago, and they've seen detrimental outcomes in their community because of it, and they want to provide that care. They just can't, as an FQHC, pay for it, and they can't find a way to fund it. And so we have partnered with them to ask the Rural Health Transformation Program to look to find a way that we can potentially, that the feds will allow an FQHC to bill and be reimbursed for the emergency care. So that's a long-term solution, and it's also a long way in the future of getting there. But we're starting the ball now, rolling, and hoping that that is an outcome that we could potentially see to help us cover that emergency care in the future. That concludes my presentation, but I am available for questions.
Well, thank you for the presentation. Do council members have any questions or comments? Councilman Bell.
Yeah, maybe just a quick update on any milestones that you've reached as far as building a new facility or remodeling.
Sure. Yeah. So we're in the process. We have ordered some long lead items already, and the construction crew is looking to come out in the next month and start work. So we are on track and we're on budget and on schedule to be finished with that by the end of the year, December 31st, 2026. Praying that the summer is good to us and that people work quickly, but we are on budget and on schedule. Also, we are in the process of putting that pharmacy in place. We're waiting on our DEA licensure to come through, and we will be doing some renovation of our dispensary area for that. And we anticipate that to be able to open before the entire capital project is finished. We'll keep you updated.
Thank you. That answered my second question, too. So thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Any further questions or comments? Hey, thank you very much for your update and your presentation.
Thank you.
Next, Mayor, we have the Museum of Illusions, and here to present is Dr. Virginia Hatfield.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor Tudyakov and council members. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you tonight. I'm here on behalf of the Museum of the Illusions to request $396,452,000 for FY27, which represents 36% of our $1.1 million budget. Our request is a 2.5% increase over last year, driven by rising costs in health insurance, audit and financial services, and basic operational expenses. The museum has served this community since we opened our doors in 1999, and as the primary institution responsible for collecting, preserving, and sharing the cultural history of the Aleutian Islands. That includes over 600,000 archaeological objects, thousands of historical artifacts, and the stories that define this region. What we do is not duplicated anywhere in this community or region. We provide professional collections care as a federally recognized repository, public exhibitions interpreting 9,000 years of history, education programs for local students and families, research access for residents, agencies, and scholars, and tourism experiences that directly contribute to the local economy. City support is not just helpful, it is foundational. Most of our grant funding is restricted. It pays for projects, not operations. It does not keep the lights on or maintain public access. City of Unalaska community support funding does. Without consistent city support, the museum cannot operate year-round. The broader funding environment's getting a little bit tougher. Federal support is less predictable. Competition for grants has increased, and capital funding for future projects like facility improvements and gallery design, redesign is increasingly difficult to secure. Despite that environment, we're not standing still. We are still actively working towards long-term sustainability. We're expanding earned revenue through tourism and programs, strengthening our partnerships with Kalawalangan Tribe and Alashka Corporation and other regional Native corporations and tribes, and with the local schools. We're building fundraising and investment capacity and advancing an Indigenous-led vision for the future of the museum. And our work aligns directly with the city's priorities that include education, community services, tourism, and preservation of Unalaska's cultural resources. It has a real daily impact. Local students engage with their history through field trips and programs. Community members access research archives and cultural resources, and visitors gain a deeper understanding of Unalaska, contributing, again, to that local economy and helping to strengthen cultural continuity across the Aleutians through our regional partnerships. The museum is a core piece of this community's infrastructure, culturally, educationally, economically, and like any infrastructure, requires stable support to function. We deeply appreciate the city's continued partnership. It has allowed us to operate, serve the community, and plan for the future. We're asking you to continue that investment. And thank you very much for your time and consideration. Any questions?
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Museum of the Aleutians application? None? Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you very much.
Next is the Kalawalangan Tribe of Unalaska, with Ms. Chelsea Durham.
Right. Good evening, everybody. I'm Chelsea Durham, the Tribal Administrator for the Kalawalangan Tribe of Unalaska. And we are requesting $71,050.15 to support cultural and wellness program. And as you can see, not a cent over what we need to get this up and running. So this funding represents about 11% of the total program budget to host Camp Q and our year-round cultural classes. We appreciate the city for everything that you have done and continue to do to support our cultural efforts. This request, again, will focus on two core programs, Camp Q, which we hope to serve between 50 and 60 youth, as well as, again, our year-round cultural and wellness programming. We do about 50 sessions per year, and they're open to everyone in the community. So if you're listening or you're here and you're thinking that it's just for tribal members, it isn't. You're welcome to join, and we hope that you do. Essentially, mainly because cultural connection is important, and we do believe that culture is prevention. So this matters because it is a tool to help our youth, you know, with healing. We talk about historical trauma, but we're also in a space, I think, for generational healing, right? So if we can change the narrative and promote that, that is certainly something that we want to do. So this has the Camp Q and our cultural classes have a significant impact on youth confidence and leadership. And again, healing intergenerational connections, especially as our youth are involved. It creates a safe, culturally grounded space for healing and learning, and it enhances our community cohesion across all of Unalaska. The funding will directly support 79% of staffing, mentor travel at about 16%, food and supplies, which is essential. You don't want a bunch of hungry kids running around Camp Q. It could be bad for all of us. So it will help support that. Insurance and safety costs. And so without this city support, the tribe would not be able to sustain consistent, high-quality program. We are resilient people, but this funding certainly helps. And this success has been proven, 29 years of proven success for Camp Q. And again, last year, 52 youth were served during Camp Q, and we exceeded our goals with over 55 sessions for Cultural Night last year. So we continue to grow, but we, again, are not asking for an increase in funding. So For FY27, we hope just to, you know, host the 29th annual Camp Q, continue weekly cultural programming year-round, strengthen youth leadership and mentorship pipeline, and improve logistics and expand cultural resources. With that being said, does anyone have any questions?
Hey, thank you. Any questions or comments on requests for funding? Holding Tribe, Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I'm just curious. There were a few years ago, you guys quit charging for Camp Q. Is that still the case, or have you guys had to implement a fee?
Yeah, Camp Q is free.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you again.
Any further questions? None. Well, thank you for your presentation and request. Next
is the Unalaska Community Broadcasting, and Ms. Lauren Adams is here.
Okay, here we go again. It seems like yesterday that we were doing this, right? Thanks for letting us talk, and also just so cool to see all of the nonprofits together. I'm really proud to work with this group. KUCB has served on Alaska for over 50 years. We started as a local access TV station, which was a school service, and then it became a City of Unalaska service. And we became an independent nonprofit in 1984 with the mission to inform, educate, entertain, and engage. But mostly our mission is to, our vision is that our community deserves reliable local information, and that's the work we do. We're the only locally based media organization in Unalaska, and we serve as the community's central information hub. And I think the core areas where we serve right now is local journalism, emergency communication, and community connection. And, you know, as the times change, we continue to try to meet our audience wherever they are, which means we're on social media, we're online, we're still continuing to operate a radio signal, a TV signal. And as the recent internet outage back in January reminded us, reliable broadcast communication is still essential in our community. And it's a critical time for KUCB. In 2019, we lost state funding. It gets added to the budget each year, gets bipartisan support from all the way through, and then gets line item vetoed by the governor. So that's the status of state funding. This year, we lost all federal funding due to the rescission of Corporation for Public Broadcasting funds. This year, we've worked aggressively to diversify revenue, find new grants, increase earned income, and reduce costs. And because of these efforts, we have been able to keep our requests to the city at a flat level from last year. But I have to say, it's because of the Kawalunga Tribe of Unalaska. Thank you to the tribe for helping us and working with us to secure funding from the Bureau of Indian Affairs that replaced our federal grant, and we wouldn't be in this position without their partnership. So local funding remains essential to maintaining our core services, and the city funding supports the people that make local journalism and emergency communication possible. That's staff salaries, benefits, payroll expenses, administrative and engineering services. And we work really hard to spend our money efficiently. We use volunteers, obviously, the way the rest of the nonprofits do. We also are very lucky to be in a city building. So we have donated facility space from the City of Unalaska. I always need to mention that because that's an additional piece that you guys also give, and we appreciate it. Right now, we're in the middle of a pretty exciting strategic planning process following the rescission of federal funds. There are a lot of organizations that are trying to help public media organizations change the way we do business and work together more closely with other stations around the state, but it takes time to do that. We're doing a strategic plan right now, and we're in the discovery phase. It's a one-year process. And so there's a community survey out right now, and everybody in the room and listening, I hope that you fill that out because it's really important information to help us evaluate where to go. But in the meantime, city support is still essential to KUCB and to Unalaska so that we have trusted local news and emergency information. And without city funding, those services would not exist. We appreciate your continued support, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments? KCB, Radio, and TV. Thank you. Appreciate your report and request.
Next one is an Alaska senior citizen, and you have Ms. Kelly. Ms. Kelly. We're moving on to the next one. We'll go back to Ms. Kelly in a little bit. We'll proceed with an Alaska Visitors Bureau with Ms. Catherine McGlashan.
Good evening, Mayor Todikoff and members of the Council. The Unalaska Portage Harbor Convention and Visitors Bureau is established to promote and encourage tourism and support the development and sustainability of tourism infrastructure in the Unalaska Portage Harbor region. For FY27 grant, we are requesting the same amount as FY26 of $210,000, which is around 43% of our overall budget. Since 2000, UVB has continuously assisted with cruise ships, sailboats, independent travelers, and the state ferry Tustamina. UVB has seen a steady flow of vessels, which included our highest number in 2023 of 20 cruise ships, and in 2020 due to the pandemic with no visits. In 2024, UVB and the Unalaska City School District entered into an MOU in sharing vans. This gave us a great opportunity to work together for our specific transportation needs. This also kept our budgets down and is very effective for our community. In 2025, UVB assisted over 10,000 visitors that ventured to our island. UVB also employed the most seasonal workers of 8 part-time workers. The seasonal workers are a huge part of success of UVB in transporting and educating our guests from May through September. For this season, UVB anticipates another successful year of 11 international, 3 domestic, and 5 scheduled Tustamina visits. UVB is currently working on the upcoming 2027-28 visitor guide. These will be printed and ready to disperse in January of 2027. The guide travels all over the world, whether it is mailed, picked up on the dock, or in our office. In 2.5 weeks, UVB will host our 20th annual wine tasting fundraiser and gala. Tickets are for sale and donations are currently being accepted. In closing, I would like to thank you again for your continued support. We are fortunate to greet, educate, and tour guests from all over the world to this place we call home. At this time, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you for your presentation. Any questions or comments from the council member? Alaska Visitors Bureau. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next.
Next is Unalaskans Against Sexual Assault and Family Violence, and we have Ms. Lynn Crane, M. Lynn Crane.
Good evening, M. Lynn Crane from Unalaskans Against Sexual Assault and Family Violence. USAVE provides safety, education, and advocacy services to empower people and create a culture of nonviolence and respect. USAVE serves people impacted by domestic and or sexual violence, stalking, child or elder abuse, homelessness or near homelessness, food insecurity, and other life crises. Unlike many other organizations, USAVE staffing costs are impossible to predict because we never know how many shelter nights we're going to have in a given year. Could be very few or it could be hundreds. When part-time shelter advocates are available to provide overnight coverage, are unavailable to provide overnight coverage, it falls on the full-time staff to do so, including me, and that gets very expensive. The unpredictable demand for emergency travel also requires us to revise our budget frequently, as does the addition or loss of other funding. Our requested increase for FY27 of $29,463 in city funding is about a 7.5% increase and is largely due to expected increases to our health insurance and other insurance costs, as well as anticipation of rising costs for utilities, fuels, commodities, and other expenses. Indeed, in light of recent world events, those and many other costs will undoubtedly be even higher than what we have projected here, and not just for USAVE, but for all of us. In our FY24 city grant application, USAVE requested and received a significant increase in our city funding in order to provide health care coverage for spouses and dependents of our full-time employees. We had to do this in order to be competitive with other local employers, including the city. At the time, we pledged to return city funds not used for this purpose, and we did so in August of 2024. We pledged to do the same in our FY25 and FY26 grant applications, and we pledged to do the same in this application. Indeed, over the last 28 years, USAVE has returned more than $317,000 in unexpended city grant funds whenever lower shelter nights, vacant staff positions, or other circumstances have allowed us to do so. In a community with limited social services, USAVE assists people dealing with all kinds of issues and needing all kinds of advocacy and support. USAVE helps people. That is what we do, and that is really all we do. We also strive to prevent interpersonal violence and suicide through outreach, education, and collaboration with our many valued community partners, most of whom are represented in this room tonight. Our board, staff, and volunteers are very proud of USAVE's demonstrated ability to respond to our beautifully diverse community's ever-changing needs and of our ongoing collaborative efforts to improve the health, safety, and quality of life to those living and working here. USAVE has an established history of responsibly administering the funds granted to us by the City of Unalaska, and we appreciate your consideration of our FY27 request. Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation. Any questions or comments? USAVE's request for funding. All right, thank you for your presentation.
Okay, and now we're going back to Unalaska Senior Citizens with Ms. Kelly.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead, please.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Mayor and City Council members. My name is Kelly Pozumki, and I represent the Unalaska Senior Citizens. We were established in 1991. Unalaska Senior Citizens is dedicated to supporting the health, independence, and well-being of residents age 60 and older. As the island's only nonprofit exclusively serving seniors, we provide essential nutrition, transportation, and light housekeeping services. With many seniors living on fixed or limited incomes, these resources, along with opportunities for social engagement, help them remain active, connected, and independent members of our community. At the heart of our program is our lunch service that provides congregate meals at the senior center, and home-delivered meals for individuals who are unable to attend. Our meals are provided through a partnership with UNICE at a significantly reduced cost, and our menus are reviewed by a registered dietitian to ensure they meet current dietary guidelines. This structure allows us to maintain quality nutrition while making the most of available funding. Along with our meal program, transportation is a key component of our services. In Unalaska, the cost of owning and maintaining a vehicle can be a significant barrier for those on a fixed income. Our program provides transportation on a regular schedule to essential locations, including grocery store, bank, and post office, as well as rides to the lunch program and other destinations as requested. We have a dedicated homemaker who visits seniors once per week to provide basic housekeeping, helping to maintain a safe and comfortable living environment. In addition, our daily program staff offer ongoing hands-on support, such as assisting with paperwork, scheduling appointments, and accessing local resources. Social connection is essential to senior health, and through our weekday lunches and regular activities, we provide consistent opportunities for seniors to connect, socialize, and maintain a routine. We also support culturally meaningful and intergenerational experiences, whether through shared traditions, special visits, or community trips. Basic wellness supports like blood pressure checks and health education further encourage ongoing engagement. What matters most is the impact. In our most recent survey, participants shared that these programs are often the only reason they leave their homes, and for some, their only chance to talk to someone during the day. One individual told us the program gives them both a sense of safety and someone they can rely on, and that's why this work matters. Over the past year, we have seen strong, steady engagement in our programs with an average of 400 meals served monthly to 60 seniors. While daily attendance naturally varies, the need for our nutrition, transportation, and homemaker services remains constant, underscoring their importance to our community. Our program is sustained through a combination of grant funding, donations, and the revenue we generate directly through our bingo sessions and lunch program. City and state grants account for 44% of our operating budget, providing the necessary foundation for our daily operations. Our FY27 request is for $79,448.50, which remains unchanged from last year. On behalf of the Unalaska senior citizens and the seniors we serve, thank you for your continued support and consideration. And I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for your update and requests for funding. Any questions from City Council members? Comments? Well, thank you for your presentation on the Unalaska Senior Center.
Thank you.
That's the last one, Mayor.
Okay, that completes our request for funding for nonprofits. Request a motion and a second to return to regular session.
I make a motion to go back into a regular session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, second by Councilman Shasteen. Any without objection, hearing no objection, we're back in a regular session at 7 p.m. Are there any directives or city manager? If there are any, there must be a motion seconded and a roll call vote. Hearing none. Community input and announcement is final opportunity to provide information to the council or make announcements. Any further announcements?
Just a reminder of the Unalaska Visitors Bureau. Our wine event is May 2nd at the Grand Aleutian Hotel. Tickets are being sold now, so stop in our office or see Marie Schilmer or Cameron Dean has tickets for sale also. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further announcements? City Clerk, are there any on city on telephone or Zoom?
No one in Teams, sir.
Having completed all items on our agenda, we'll be adjourned at 7 to close. 7 up 2. Thank you. Good night.